Thank you. My name is Pam. I am a compulsive eater and food addict. My first OA meeting was April 20th of 1994. I was 46 years old, 220 pounds, and desperate. I had a six-year-old son on the autism spectrum, so life felt especially crazed. There's just something that goes with special needs children that I didn't have much of the wherewithal to deal with, that or anything else, frankly. And that's what I'm learning in recovery. And I have never left. It took me about 4 years of working the program, working with a sponsor, sponsoring others, doing service, all of that, still believing that I could eat what I wanted to and recover. That did not work. So at about the 4 year mark, I was struck willing, and this was absolutely not of my doing, to follow a weighed and measured food plan that left out sugar and flour. And that really turned my recovery around. And that 14 years of recovery that I had at that time, that I had as a result of that being struck willing, was a very big growth period for me. And I got to a normal body weight and have maintained that pretty much. But there's so much more to this program, so much more. And I had to go to other programs for help too. I went to the money program, and I just returned again to the adult children program. What else? CODA, you know, Workaholics Anonymous, that was one. So because I have so many ways of going unconscious, food is not the only one. And so I needed help with very specific focus on some of these issues that were very apparent. So when I came in, I was married and had this this amazing child, and was working at a job I loved in book publishing, and had coming to program was something. I'd been invited to my first OA meeting in 1979, but the God thing just stopped me dead. And I was raised in a very religious household, well, several households actually, because I had different parents, three different sets of parents in three different states. And so it was as someone said tonight, a rather tumultuous childhood. And I was realizing, I've got a friend in recovery who lives in the house that she was raised in, born and raised in. And I was thinking about, how many places have I lived? And, I stopped counting at 28. I've actually lived in that many places. In three different states. So being attached was not, belonging was a very big deal when I came into OA. And I have felt very much like I belong here, that everyone here speaks my language. During that 14 years of abstinence, I went through the steps several times with sponsors, and I really always kind of stopped at step 10, because for me, step 10 was a list of what I had done wrong. First of all, it happened at night. I didn't realize step 10 was the going all day, the during the day thing. But the big barrier to being able to do step 10 really was being aware of my feelings. I wasn't. There was no point in being aware of my feelings as a child. Nobody was listening. And so that got shut down thoroughly, very young. And so being able to stand my feelings has been a process, and has been the process of the last several years in recovery. And I'm very grateful to the sponsor I have right now, who is an extremely gentle person with a very strong program, a very strong spiritual program, who has really encouraged me in the step 10 process, which is getting current, staying current with what my feelings are, because they drive everything. And realizing, for instance, that, you know, I can know that if I'm suddenly deciding that, gee, donuts are going to solve this problem, something else is up, because they never have solved that problem. And I know that because I went into relapse 14 years after getting abstinent, and got back into sugar and flour, and wow, I was just staggered at how much the disease had progressed. I was much worse than I was when I came into program 18 years before that. And I started vomiting. I hadn't done that before because I was eating so much. I couldn't breathe. You know, I had to throw up just to breathe. And they were like one day binges. They were horrifying binges, but they were one day, and they included all the foods that I'm allergic to, not just the foods that I can't eat sanely, but my body is actually allergic to. So, wheat, corn, dairy, and it would take a long time for my body to get back to normal after one of these binges. And I did that 56 times over about a 2-year period. And every one was going to be my last one. I was never going to do that again. And then I'd have this idea that one more binge would do it. I was just sure. Oh, brother. And none of them ever did. It just grew the obsession. That's all. Just grew the obsession. And I have to say that the 3 years since then have been very, very big growth times. But I have not had the quiet around food that I had that first 14 years. I have not. Because now the first response I have to having a feeling is, oh, that binge food, that'll do it. And of course I can have just one, which I proved 56 times was absolutely not possible. Not possible. And so, you know, it has taken a lot of willingness to look at things that I have been afraid to look at. One of the things that happened last summer, I went through a fourth step written for teenagers, looking back at childhood. And I'm telling you, that was really interesting. And a lot of things came up, looking at pictures, asking relatives, most of whom are gone, so there really wasn't, I'm the oldest one in the immediate family now. And so, it's kind of, there aren't that many people to ask. But that whole idea of, you know, really looking at the memories and what I kind of came away from with that, I came away with a lot of different things. But one of the things was that I was dwelling on only the bad memories, when in fact there were quite a lot of happy memories as well. And that was actually very reassuring, because I had such a grudge against my stepmother. She had died just before I came into OA. And there was something about her death that gave me permission to do something around the God thing that wasn't the religion I was raised in. And I don't know why my stepmother was the one who freed me from that, because I was with her the shortest, no, I wasn't with her the shortest time, but it's just that I guess I was ready. to think about, well, maybe a power greater than myself. I could do that. A power greater than myself. At a meeting the other night, we were reading from the new OA 12 and 12, the second edition, just came out. And we read step two. And one of the people was where there are no gender specifications around a power greater than ourselves, higher power, God. That's all gender free. And we were we were having some shares on that, and one person said that she had to make a copy of the of step two and change every time the word God came up and put power greater than herself, so that she could take in the information that's in that chapter. And I get that, because words are really powerful to me. And I remember one time someone actually in food recovery who was a coach volunteered to give me a coaching session, and she had this questionnaire ahead of time that was really hard to answer, really deep questions. But what I remember about the actual session, the thing that really struck me was, she said, "Oh, it sounds like, you know, you made words your family." Well, as soon as I could escape into reading, that was my first escape. That was the deal. And then I spent 30 years in book publishing, so there you go. But the idea that a sense of a higher power can change, can evolve, and I'm getting some outside help with that. I have started going to a particular church that is not typically Christian as I was raised, and it just is so much broader in that concept, and I think I can live with this. And I just find that so helpful. They offered, it's really interesting, the week I got there, I found out that they were offering a class called The Search for God. I signed up right away, because I need to be there. And because that not being able to trust, because I feel like I've gone through so many years of recovery, really the motivation was, the power was my sponsor, the food plan, and pleasing everybody, especially my sponsor, and myself will, but not really a higher power. And so that's what this return, recovery from relapse has been about, is realizing that and coming to terms with that. And that is an evolving thing. It's not like static at any given time. So, I don't know. I still need to weigh and measure my food, and I still need to leave out, refined carbs and sugar, because I really have those addictions. Once I start, I can't stop, and I can't stop from starting again. I proved that in my relapse period, and there were days last week when I wouldn't have given you a dime for me getting through that day abstinently. It's just the way some days are. But it's not, but the program offers me all kinds of ways to, deal with that. That I can call, I can write, I can read, and if I choose not to do those things, I get to live with the discomfort. I'm becoming more willing because I really do not want to go back to binging. That was such a horrifying experience. I really could see what it must be like to be a drug addict, a heroin addict, because I was looking for my fix. And it always took, the thing is, after each binge, it was 3 to 5 days of detox from them. And that wasn't much fun. So I know, I was thinking, it's only one day. no. Well, it's only one. Or it's sort of like how I think about sugarless gum, which is a big problem for me, because, you know, an 18-pack is a serving. Mm-hmm. And I get headaches from chewing, but until the gum is gone, I'm not done. So I treat it the same. It's the same compulsive behavior as, you know, the other solid foods that I'm allergic to. I do not have a perfect program by any means. I am very involved in service. I've always had service positions at the meetings I go to. I go to a couple HAL meetings, both in Ballard, Sunday and Tuesday evenings. And then I have a kind of a rotating third meeting. It's an ACA meeting now, adult child meeting. And I call my sponsor every day of the week, but not on weekends. And I, until recently had 4 sponsees. That was a little much, so I don't have that many now. But that involvement is really important, to stay connected with someone else in recovery, on a more intimate level. And the service is something that is, just expanding my view of the world. You know, it's so easy to fall into the victim mode. things are all about me, and they're not, as it turns out. I'm on the project team for retention, and that's part of the GSI renewal process that came out of a survey that was sent out electronically to everybody asking, you know, what do we want GSI to be doing? And the answers came back, and we've got project teams now for 3 different areas. One to get the word out to the public about Overeaters Anonymous, one to retain newcomers and returnees, and one to, I don't remember, the third one? Oh yes, promoting strong meetings, which the sponsorship thing would be doing, retaining newcomers would be doing. So they're kind of overlapping, but with slightly different focuses. So that is just being so amazing. We got this fabulous list of 12 days of suggested local literature from a Sydney, Australia group, OA group, and from GSI brought it to us. And what an amazing thing. And I've taken several people through that process, and the thing from the benefit for me has been being able to remember what the early days were like, and because it's been 24 years, and that gets a little fuzzy, and to meet people where they are. You know, anything you're willing to do when you first come in is enough. I'm just feeling grateful and grounded in recovery in a way that I haven't. Because when I have food thoughts, I am willing to take action around them in ways that I haven't before. I didn't for many years make outreach calls. I got a lot of incoming calls, and I figured that was good enough. But it's not the same thing. And I remember a sponsor suggesting one time, and I had a number of sponsors. It seems like every time I started with a new sponsor, I needed to start over with the steps. So I've been through through steps 1 through 9 anyway, several times, maybe 7 times, I'm not sure. But I started out saying something else, and now I don't remember what it was. Oh, well. There you go. But it's just really amazing to me the intensity of our one-on-one relationships, because I was so afraid of that. You know, real connection just didn't seem like anything I could possibly handle. Because you wouldn't like me. And I got this saying in this little book, it wasn't conference stuff, that living for the approval of others is a very painful way to live. And it was like I was always living in front of a camera, God was watching and judging, or whoever mattered was watching and judging. And I was playing to a camera and looking for approval in your eyes. And that I'm learning to tune in for my own approval, which is not easy to come by. So that's where I am. And I figure I'll get it before I'm dead. Or, as someone says, 20 minutes after I'm dead, I will definitely know. So, anyway, I think that's it for me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.